This is the Grace and Truth podcast. Welcome to yet another episode of our podcast here. My name is Eric Kahure, and today I have a guest from the United States. His name is Mike Reed. He's a pastor. He can introduce himself.
Hello, my name is Mike Reed. I come from Davenport, Iowa. Iowa's a state kind of in the middle of the United States. I've been pastoring there for a little over 10 years. We are a Reformed Baptist church. We're kind of a small little church. But God has allowed us to do some really wonderful ministry here in Kenya through a institute called IC, or Didaki Institute, that's associated with International Church Planters. And so that's a little bit about me. I'm married to Emily. I have 5 children and 2 grandchildren.
That's great. We praise the Lord for that. Mm-hmm. We've had the Grace and Truth conference just the past 3 days. Mm-hmm. And you were handling a topic titled The False Gospels. Mm-hmm. That's what we want to talk about this in this podcast. And so what are these false gospels?
Yeah, so we won't have time on this podcast, nor we have time in a sermon today to go over all the false gospels.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would contend that there are 2 kinds of religion in the world.
Yeah.
There is the religion of works, and then there is Christianity. So every other religion out there is a religion of works, where it requires works to be saved or to stay saved. Mm. So some of those false gospels would be, well, the false gospel is a work. So in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 6, Paul does not start out with the Galatians and give a lot of friendly, flowery introduction. He pretty much goes right into rebuking them.
Yeah.
Because what was happening in Galatia was the Judaizers were coming in and saying to these new Christians, well, yes, you need to believe in Christ and you need to be circumcised. Mm. So they said Christ alone wasn't enough.
Yeah.
It was Christ plus some of the holidays and circumcision. So Paul says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. So Paul says, there is no other gospel. There's only one gospel, but there are those who are in there trying to preach to you a false gospel.
Yeah.
And he says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed or an anathema. So Paul is saying, if anybody preaches you a false gospel, us or even angels from heaven, then we are an anathema. We are accursed. We are condemned.
Yeah.
So the danger of the false gospels is that those who preach a false gospel and those who listen to false gospels or believe them are condemned. There is only one gospel that can save. So, for instance, Roman Catholicism, the Council of Trent and their Catholic catechism of the Catholic Church, baptism, they say that water baptism is necessary to be saved. So that's a work. They say that justification by faith alone, if you believe that you don't add to your justification, then you're accursed. So the Roman Catholic Church clearly says that it's faith plus works. The very same thing the Galatian Church was having with the Judaizers. We talked about Islam. There are 5 pillars of Islam that you have to do in order to hope you can get to heaven. You have to say a special, take a vow toward Muhammad and Allah. You have to pray 5 times, special prayers. You have to give to the needy. You have to take a trip to Mecca and worship there at least once during your lifetime. And so I can't remember the 5th pillar right now, but you have to do all these works, and then you don't even know if you're saved or if you're going to heaven or not. False gospel of Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses, they have in their Watchtower magazine, they have 5 ways that you go to heaven. And one of those is to follow the law. Mm-hmm. Scripture clearly teaches us about the law and you can't follow it. So there's some of the false gospels that are works gospels. But I think probably the most glaring, problematic gospel in Kenya is the prosperity gospel, which goes completely against what scriptures would teach. So people like Creflo Dollar and Kenneth Copeland and Joyce Meyer and Joel Osteen, they're T.D. Jakes, they're all preaching a message that promises temporal blessings. And as we talked about today in the sermon, who promises temporal blessings?
It's the devil. It's,
the devil.
Yeah.
When Jesus comes out after being in the desert for 40 days and being tempted, the last thing the devil does is takes him up high over and looks over and says, I'll give you all of this if you'll bow down and worship. All of what? Heavens? No, all of the earth. Control. And so the devil makes promises that are temporal. Whereas we see in the book of Ephesians that we have received all the blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the promises of God are in heaven,
yeah.
are eternal. The promises of Satan are temporal. And that's what you see with the prosperity gospel.
So how are we seeing this creep into the church?
Yeah, so scripture talks about in the book of Jude that, I'll turn there. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. So Jude says there's one faith that was delivered to the saints once for all. It says, for certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who will pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Jude says, they creep in, but they're not from outside. They're inside the church, the quote-unquote church. Yeah. And how they've crept in is they come in telling a message that people want to hear. And so Paul tells Timothy, there will be a day when people will gather up to themselves teachers that tell them what their itching ears want to hear.
Yeah.
And so that's why, because God said it would happen. But what happens is they come in and they tell a message, giving people a message of temporal hope. Health, if you're sick, word of faith preachers say you can speak yourself healthy or you can have hands laid on you. Wealth, they promise you temporal blessings, and that's what people want to hear. So they creep in by being wolves that look a lot like sheep. They're in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
And they preach a message that people want to hear. So it's interesting, Eric. We look at guys like Joel Osteen, and he is under horrible condemnation for the lies he tells.
Yeah.
And yet, the judgment is actually on the people who have him that listen to him, because they are the ones gathering up for themselves a teacher that tells them what their itching ears want to hear. Mm. It's exactly what they want to hear. So how they creep in is they tell you what you want to hear.
So then someone out there would be asking, why is this important to me? Why do I need to beware of a false gospel?
Yeah. So because if there's one gospel that saves. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, I suppose.
Yeah.
But any other gospel, like Paul says, there is no other gospel. So if you've been saved to any other gospel, that gospel can't save you. So if you've been believed that, and look, in the Kenyan church, we talk about works. So many heretics out there preach the tithe that must be followed. Hey, if you tithe, you'll be blessed. Now, if you're going to put that out there, and from Malachi, then also if you don't tithe, you're going to be cursed. So they are teaching this works. I've been around Kenya. It just happened again tonight. I asked somebody if they were Christian, and they said, yes. If you die, you're going to go to heaven. They said, yes. Tell me why. Well, because I try to do the best I can. I try to live by the law. I'm a righteous person. And when I explained to her, you're not righteous. There's none righteous.
Yeah.
Do you sin? Well, yes. Or actually, she first acted like she didn't. And I said, 1 John 1 says that if you say you have no sin, you're lying.
Yeah.
So this is what I see in Kenya, is a very works-based mentality and or health, wealth, and prosperity, and oftentimes together. And what's dangerous about it is about those gospels is they aren't gospels at all. In other words, they don't save you.
Yeah.
So the danger is you think you're a Christian because you do works or try to do works, try to follow the law. You think you're a Christian because you believe Christianity means trusting God for blessings, temporal blessings.
Yeah.
And the problem is you're not a Christian unless you've been saved to the one true gospel.
So there's someone who probably is a Christian, and they know about the true gospel. They have heard about Christ, and they have believed in Jesus Christ. But then they are sitting under, you know, because this gospel is creeping into our churches.
Yeah.
So they are sitting under men who preach a works-based gospel, who preach the prosperity, health, wealth,
yes,
kind of gospel. Why would they need to be aware of these things?
Well, if they're truly Christians,
yeah,
then they cannot lose their salvation.
Yeah.
And they will recognize that what they're hearing is not true. Because, see, in order for them to be truly Christians, that presupposes they've heard the true gospel.
Yeah.
And the church they're at, in your example, they aren't hearing the gospel. But if they're truly Christians, the risk is being malnourished and not growing in the Lord, and not enjoying the blessings of a relationship, a right relationship with God, with good knowledge, being able to worship in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
But a true Christian can't lose their salvation. But Kahude, if people sit under that kind of teaching and don't run from it, because they see it doesn't match up to the scriptures, they're probably not a Christian.
Yeah.
Now, again, when I first got saved, I was going to a gospelist church and stayed there for, 6-7 years. So I was as born again as I am now, or saved as I am now, but not hearing the gospel week in and week out, not hearing it at all, reading my own Bible. So the risk is you're not going to grow. You're not going to be sanctified, because Jesus says in John 17, that sanctify them by the truth, and your word is truth. And if you're not getting the word preached to you, then you're not being sanctified.
Yeah. So when you are preaching in your session, you said something about if you want to know something that is counterfeit, you interact with that which is true. So can you tell us what now the true gospel according to the scriptures?
I will, and let me give you the example I gave, because I think it's useful.
Yeah.
If someone is going to be a trained police officer that's going to look for counterfeit money, they don't train by looking at all the different counterfeits.
Yeah.
They look at what's real. They look at a real 1,000 shilling bill, Kenyan shilling bill, and they look at that. So they study that and know what a real one looks like. So no matter what kind of false one comes in, when you lay it up against the real one, you can see that it's not real.
Yeah.
So the gospel starts with a holy God. Mm. God is holy. God is perfectly holy. He is perfectly set apart. God does not sin, cannot sin. He is perfect in every way. God created man in his image. He gave him a soul that would never die. Yeah. And he gave them the ability to logic and reason. And he gave them a conscience. He wrote the law in their hearts.
Yeah.
So you got a holy God that's perfectly holy and cannot be around sin and sinners. And then you've got sinful man. God gave us rules to live by, and we don't live by them. We violate God's law. So we had a whole session on human depravity. I would encourage your listeners to go to Trinity Baptist Church YouTube channel and listen to the sermon on human depravity that Eli Achoke did. It was tremendous. But man is sinful. We violate the laws of God. We lie. We steal. We're sexually immoral. And so therefore, we have this problem. We have a holy God. We have man who missed the mark. Hamartia, sin. Sin means to miss the mark. So we miss the mark of perfection that God has set. And then the issue is we're sinful. We miss the mark. And the reality is that God says sin will have to be paid for. Mm. It's going to be punished.
Yeah.
Because God is just. He says, follow my commands and live, don't and perish.
Okay, yeah.
So we all don't. So now we are destined to perish because we sin, and God says punishment is forever separation from him in torment in hell, burning forevermore in a lake of fire, the sensation of drowning forevermore away from any of God's goodness, only experience God's judgment and wrath for all eternity. That's the beginning of the gospel. And if you don't start with a holy man and sinful God, or holy God and a sinful man, and then the fact that there's punishment for that sin, then the cross makes no sense. But now it makes sense because this just God who's going to judge sin in his love sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfectly sinless life without any sin, never sinning in thought, word, or deed ever. Living a perfect life and then going to the cross to take on the wrath of God. So that sin has now been punished. My sin, Kuhure, your sin has now been punished, taken care of, so that he can be just and the justifier. And as we put our faith in Jesus Christ alone, not in Jesus Christ plus our works, just in Jesus Christ alone, we repent and believe on Christ and our sins are paid for. And the last piece of the gospel is a truly born-again Christian, their life will be different. They will repent. They will have metanoia, a change of heart that leads to a change of direction. So the sin that I once loved, I now hate. And the law I once rebelled against, I now love. And that's the way you can see if you truly have been born again, if you truly are a follower of Jesus Christ.
I think that last part that you've mentioned about having a changed life is very important, because there are people who say that because we claim salvation is by faith alone, then people can do whatever they want.
Right, and what? So there's a number of scriptures that come to mind, but I preached a sermon years ago. Salvation is not about what your mouth says. It is true you will confess Jesus as Lord, but Jesus says, why do you call me Lord and not do what I do? Or not do what I tell you to do? Why do you call me Lord and not do what I command? In other words, if I'm your Lord, Kurios, then you do what I command joyfully. 1 Corinthians 6:9, don't be deceived. And then there's a list of fornicator, adulterer, idolater, drunkard, reviler, extortioner, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Then they respond and say, hey, didn't we do church? We cast out demons in your name. We did church. And then in verse 23, he says, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Now, is he talking there about those Buddhists, Muslims?
Nope.
No, those that will say, Lord, Lord.
Lord, Lord,
those that profess Christ. And yet if they practice lawlessness, and what is lawlessness? Violating
the law of God.
The law of God.
Yeah.
So if I willfully continue to sin, I practice lawlessness, I stay a drunkard. I keep being sexually immoral. I continue to lie. I intentionally, willfully lie. I'm practicing lawlessness. He's going to say, I never knew you. So there are many false professions. Every one of the Christians, every one of the quote-unquote people that go to these health, wealth, and prosperity churches, that go to these Word of Faith churches, that even that would go to Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, they're going to say they're Christians. They're not, because they're stuck in a works-based religion, and or they don't have any kind of holiness to their lives. So for a Mormon, they actually, a good Mormon lives a fairly moral life, maybe oftentimes more moral than some Christians. And yet they are not saved because they don't have their full faith and trust in the Jesus of the Bible. But you're right, Kuhure, that is the last piece of the gospel. The gospel says we will have we are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So we are not the same people we were.
So then Paul asks in Romans 6, shall we then continue to sin so that grace may abound?
And what's he say?
He says, by no means.
Meginomai. The strongest words you can use in the Hebrew or Greek language, certainly not. God forbid. No way. Of course, a Christian does not think, oh, my sins are paid for, let me go sin.
Yeah, yeah.
We hate our sin.
Yeah, yeah.
When we do sin, we repent.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 7, we're broken by that.
Yeah.
We're zealous to change that.
Yeah.
We aren't comfortable when we sin.
So then the person who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come.
God has
removed the heart of stone and implanted the heart of flesh.
Amen. So yeah, we're different.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not the same.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, brother, for availing yourself. Coming all the way from Iowa to Kenya to just share this message of the gospel and how amazing it is to know that there are people we have no idea where they live who are miles and miles away from us, yet we believe in the same Jesus.
Isn't that incredibly? It is so humbling. I'm overwhelmed by coming to Nairobi, Kenya, to Trinity Baptist Church and being surrounded by the brethren, that it's the same as when I'm home 8,000 miles away, because there's one faith and one unity and one baptism and one Lord, and we are fighting for the same gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
There's hospitality here. Yeah. There's a brotherly love, and I'm just thankful for it.
Yeah,
God is incredible.
And praise the Lord also.
Amen.
Yeah.
Grace and Truth is brought to you by Reformation Hub Kenya. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Reformation Hub. Also visit our site, reformationhub.or.ke, for this and previous episodes.